Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith.
People who support winning candidates expect something in return. Sadly, the same can be true in churches. Heavy contributors are often the heavy decision makers. This may have played a part in the motivations of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Turn with us to Acts chapter 5. Erwin Lutzer is teaching us that when God is first, He owns our reputations, and why financial giving should be secret.
There are two reasons why we have giving here as a secret. First, for your benefit. We want to minimize the possibility that we have people like Ananias and Sapphira who give to be recognized, who give to be noticed, who give because they secretly hope it will lead to a higher office in the church. And so what we do is we say, thank you for your gift, but we do not know that gift, and what you give is known to one or two people responsible for the accounting and to God. There's a second reason why we do it. Not only for your benefit, but for our benefit as a staff, because we don't want to treat you differently based on your giving pattern. Now, that's the church policy, and it is held to. Now, the downside, of course, is people who don't give anything absolutely love that policy. They love it. As I mentioned last week, it may come as a bit of a shock and most assuredly a disappointment to know that there are hundreds of people who attend Moody Church every Sunday, members, not dozens, but hundreds, who give nothing, nothing at all, year by year. And these people bless them. When we hear about what God is doing over at Kids Club, they clap just as loudly as the people sitting next to them. Now, we don't know who they are, but I'm sure that they clap just as loudly, even though they've not given a dime to the ministry, they've not given to missions, they've not given to the opportunities that God has given us here, and yet they are pretending that they're on board and they're rejoicing with everyone else. See, the problem with that is not just because we need the money, though as I mentioned last time, it'd be good to have more, and we think of what we could do, but that's not really the issue. They are cutting out the possibility of God rewarding them openly. You remember Jesus said, let your giving be in secret, and your Father will reward you openly. Give God that privilege. I love to tell the story about my wife and I being at Ravinia. I don't know how many of you have been there, but it's lovely music, and you buy a ticket and you get into the grounds, and then if you buy a more expensive ticket, you actually get into the band shell there, and they have orchestra where you can hear Strauss and Mozart and all of those other wonderful composers. Well, my wife and I, we don't get into the band shell, but we with hundreds of other people, sometimes have taken a picnic lunch back there in the evening, and then you just sit out in the grass and you can hear the concert. I remember doing that one year. And next to us, there was a man who was lying down during the concert, and he fell asleep, and he began to snore. He snored so loudly, I had a mind to move, but then I thought, no, I'll put up with this, even though he's interfering with Schubert, I think was the number. And then when it was all over and we all stood up, even on the grass, to give a standing ovation, he stood up and he clapped just as hard as the rest of us. Now there are believers like that. Yes, yes, we're clapping. Yes, we clap just as hard. But we're asleep for God, and we're asleep at the switch. Ananias and Sapphira answer the question of what do we give and to whom do we give it? There was a minister who was taking an offering for missions and said, I want you to give this offering tonight, and I want you to visualize that you are actually placing it into the nail-pierced hand of Jesus. And a woman who was there took out her $5 bill, which she was going to give, and then put it back, pulled out a 50 instead and said, if I'm giving it to the nail-pierced hand of Jesus, how can I let the offering plate go by giving so little? The first lesson that Ananias and Sapphira teach us is the lesson of motivation, proper single-minded motivation. We give to God, and we do give to the nail-pierced hand of Jesus. There's a second lesson very quickly, and that is the law of mutual influence, or corporate influence, or mutual influence. That is to say, why did God take this sin so seriously? It is because this was going to be something like leaven within the lump. The Bible says that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. I already spoke about how their witness and their ministry would have on it this deceit. And as a result of that, as people found out about it, people would begin to think it would be safe to sin. And so God says, what I want to do is to show you that you have sinned before God, but you've also sinned against the body. And we are all connected. You see, your spiritual life and my spiritual life, we're all connected with one another. When you're hot for God, it makes me a little hotter for God. When you're cold for God, it makes me a little colder. We are members of one another. And some of you, God bless you. You've been attending Moody Church for a long time and you've never become a member. Sometimes I hear people say, well, you know, I belong to the invisible church. The invisible church. Well, I have some news for you. I do believe that there is a church of the elect that are in various churches and congregations who truly do belong to God. But I need to inform you the fact that so far the invisible church has not sent a missionary team to Osiri in southern Africa. The invisible church has never sent tutors to Cabrini Green. The invisible church, last time I checked, never visited anyone in the hospital. This invisible church doesn't do much. Everything that we have done here is a part of the very visible local congregation. And I'm pleading to you for your involvement, for your prayers, for your giftedness that is necessary here at the church, because we're all connected, and God says a little bit of sin over here is going to affect the entire church. I hope I'm not speaking too harshly. I'm always concerned about that. And then on the other hand, I say, well, you know, sometimes we have to be clearer than we'd need to be. There are some people who are more devoted to their bowling league than they are the church. There are some people who are much more devoted to be on work on time than they are to be to church on time. Or it would take them much more to keep them away from work than it would keep them from being away from church. And so I ask you today, you're a part of the body. You're important to the whole. Don't think to yourself that your walk with God does not affect everyone else. God says this couple, this deceitful couple, would affect everyone else. And so does your deceit affect everyone else, or my deceit affect everyone else. It's the law of mutual influence. Let's go to a third. The law of final accountability. What a story. You do know it, don't you? Notice what the text says. When Ananias heard this, that is when he heard Peter speak, he fell down and died. Ugh. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. I guess so. Then young men came forward and wrapped his body and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter said to her, tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land? You see, he was mentioning the price that they gave to the apostles. And she said, yes, lied. Direct lie. This was a great chance for her to say, no, we lied, but she didn't. She said, yes, that's the price. Peter said to her, how could you agree to test the Spirit of God? Look, the feet of the young men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also. At that moment, she fell down dead at his feet and died. Then the young men came in and, finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. Don't you at this point just want to say, wow? Were these people Christians? Of course I think they were. I think that the fact that they sinned against the Holy Spirit. Now, the church was walking in the energy of the Spirit. They were constantly filled with the Holy Spirit. Here's somebody who lies against the Holy Spirit. So I think they were Christians. I think they arrived in heaven. I think we shall see them someday. Can't you just imagine? Oh, Ananias and Sapphira, see, you're the ones. Yeah, you know, I preached about you one time. Sapphira, where were you during that 3-hour period? Could it be that you were shopping at the mall with the money that you had, Sapphira? I'm sure that in heaven we won't be talking about those things, but there they are. You say, well, Pastor Lutzer, why did God judge them like this so severely? I mean, isn't this overkill?
Well, my friends, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I think the reason that God judged them so severely was to give a lesson to the church. This story, of course, which is true, found in the book of Acts, reminds us of the fact that Christians can sin against God, they can sin against the Holy Spirit, but here's another truth, and I can't say it too often. Peter said, why did Satan fill your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? My friend, the devil can put thoughts into our minds which we think are our own, so we don't fear those thoughts, but they might be satanic. How we have to watch our minds. And you know, my friend, the most important thing that you need to know about your life is not your vocation, not your situation, but you need to answer this question. Are you born again? Jesus said to Nicodemus, a man who was a religious leader, he had morality, he had knowledge, but his heart had not been miraculously changed. And that's what the new birth is. That's why for a gift of any amount, we're making a book available for you entitled The New Birth. It's written by Peter Mead, who is a Bible teacher in England. The thing I like about this book is it is very clear. It helps us to understand what the new birth is. It isn't self-help. It's help directly from God, miraculously from God. And so I want to emphasize that you're not born again just because you go to church, just because you consider yourself a good person or you have been baptized. The new birth is a miracle out of heaven that you and I need to experience to become one of God's children. As I've already emphasized, for a gift of any amount, this can be yours, and in a moment you'll be given contact info because we believe that this book will not only benefit you, but those around you.
Pastor Erwin Lutzer has wrapped up part two of He Owns Our Reputations, the fifth message in his series, When God Is First, taken from the book of Acts. Next time, more about the law of final accountability. Peter Mead has written a book about the need for the new birth, the dividing line between the saved and the unsaved. A copy of The New Birth will be sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support the outreach of Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.